Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Red Pill Your Healthcast. My name is Dr. Charlie Fagenholtz here with Lauren Johnson, FMP. And we're going to continue with some Q&As. So people have been submitting questions for us, which is awesome. And we're going to continue it. So let's start. First one we wrote down was vaccine shedding. Now, vaccine shedding, for me, I was just talking to Lauren about this. I haven't seen it nearly as much in my patient population. And so what I will say about it was when the COVID vaccine was such a hot topic and everyone thought it was such a great thing to do and thought that we were crazy for saying the opposite, what I was finding was that the shedding process every time you got vaccinated was about 3 weeks. That was the sweet spot, 21 days. And in those 21 days, whatever you're injected with comes out through your breath, through your sweat, saliva, things like that. Now, actually, other vaccines, just from what I've seen clinically, is about 6 weeks. So this one wasn't actually as long standing or long shedding, so to speak. But what I was finding to help with it was dandelion. And dandelion, we use Glypho X in. That was a really, really, that was the main herb that I found. Lauren, did you find any other things off the start with vaccine shedding?
Well, I think stabilizing like the cell. So like I like PC, phosphatidylcholine. I think stuff like that, making sure like your minerals are on board, your nutrient dense diet. Like I think there is something to be said about decreasing susceptibility to these things. And so making sure diet, getting outside and things like that are on board. I do think that the Glypho X, cause my daughter, so Charlie tested my daughter at one point a few months ago and she had been shed on and yep. It also reactivated some other things in the body. So I think it depends on what else is going on in the body. So if you have somebody who has Lyme disease and they got shed on and that reactivates, then that might be something where you want to add on like a cat's claw along yep. with Glypho X. I think that would be a really great thing to add on as well as stabilizing the cell membrane, you know, enough minerals on board. Yeah. Anything else that you can think of?
I think on top of that, I'll echo all of that, but anything that's just a really supreme antioxidant. So I like trizopyl glutathione. I like resveratrol, which is Japanese knotweed. I like turmeric. Those three, that's just in general, like that helps your cells against EMF. It helps your cells against any oxidative stress. And so, you know, the thing is we need to get back to the basics and what has worked for so long. And things like glutathione, resveratrol, and turmeric have been around for a long, long time. And so I think those in general are good for all of our cells on top of what we all just mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think increasing antioxidants in general is just going to be a good thing for most people right now. And that could be in the form of like a powder that you add. Like I add one to my, it's a BioPure Deep Purple. Like that's a super antioxidant rich powder. And then TheraSupreme is another antioxidant rich supplement that is a really great way to increase those antioxidants. We're just bombarded with toxins, whether it's a COVID vaccine or something else.
Totally.
And so increasing those antioxidants is a good thing. Speaking of that though, throwing a random one at you, I get asked this a lot. Say you have a 1-year-old and they were around another 1-year-old who had just gotten their childhood vaccines. So that's a potential for shedding, you know, 6 weeks or so, right? Would you say then to maybe give a binder after you find out, or would you say you're kind of just going to have to be dealing with maybe it's some exposure to pertussis or something like that?
So I, in that case, put on certain nutritional products. I like essential fatty acids, vitamin C, calcium, and that is Matrix Synergy from Vervita. I'll also throw in cod liver oil on top of that, and I will throw in glutathione. So that's what I've seen. Sometimes I've seen immune armor, but I actually find that Matrix Synergy has more of what we're looking for in that situation. And then pretty soon, June 1st is when Cleanse Plus comes out, which is another very, very potent antioxidant, which will be really, really good. I like how you said TheraSupreme. One thing that I'll have some patients do is I'll actually when they make like smoothies, I'll have them open up the capsules of TheraSupreme and dump it in the smoothies just for some extra antioxidants instead of taking more pills. Some people don't want to take that many. And so that's a really easy way of getting in there for children too.
Yeah, it's a great one to add on. So yeah, I think that's something to be mindful of. You know, if you have a little one, I think it would be hard with family to avoid some of the shedding, but if you can, you know, like in a daycare setting, especially, that would be something that you just want to think about.
Yeah. And you know, we've had family come over who don't listen to anything that I say about vaccines and all that. And I'll have to clear my daughters and treat them afterwards while the whole time, you know, making remarks to my family that they know they made a mistake. So that's always a good time. I'm sure people listening to this would be like, I wish I was a fly on the wall during those situations. Some people thought it was kind of intense just being the healthy eater at the parties. Wait till you're around me and a family member is vaccinated. You haven't seen anything yet.
You're probably a lot more forward about that. I'm
extremely forward about it. Extremely. Yes, to the point where my mom's like, can you just like cut it down just a little bit? I'm like, no, I can't.
No, it's that true. And I try to be so mindful of everyone's, you know, feelings and everything they've gone through. Cause I've been that mom who didn't know, but at the same time, if you're around Charlie, you probably know about this. And so like, if you're still doing it, you know, it's just, I know we all have to make the best decisions for ourselves, but if you're listening to this podcast, I feel like you are probably agreeing with us here. So, it's a hard conversation to have, but sometimes it's needed.
Absolutely. All right. Next question. When to start feeding babies solid real food, or do you just do breast milk for the first year? This is a good question. What are your thoughts on that?
So I actually don't support just breast milk for the first year, because in practice, I would see children, you know, well child checks know what we weren't doing, the pokies. And the vaccines. I don't know why I tried to censor myself there.
Yeah, this isn't Instagram. This is everywhere else.
I'm so scared to talk about vaccines on Instagram right now. It's an election year. I feel like it's getting wild. The censorship again. But I would see children that were turning one, that were 9 months, that were 15 months. And I do think the ones that held off on any solids were just pickier. They just had a harder time with the introduction. Now that could have been just a coincidental thing with the ones with our population. But I do think if I were to have another child, I would definitely introduce food probably once they start having teeth. I like that. I think that makes sense biologically, that like, if we weren't, we need to chew our food. We know that we were created to chew food, to not have a bunch of purees. And in order to chew, but a lot of the baby led weaning people would say you can still chew food without teeth. But I think that I would wait till there's teeth, and then I would start with, you know, the eggs, meat. I would start with stuff like that. And probably avoid grains. Definitely. Cause I don't think that our gut is meant to digest grains, and it is harder to digest. What do you think about this?
I'm 100% in agreement with you. As soon as there is some teeth in the mouth, I think they're ready for some solid food. We did a lot of beef boost, which is basically beef with organs in it. We start with that quite a bit. We've started with doing avocado and sweet potatoes, but not pureeing it, actually making them chew it to get their jaw movement. So whenever there is, you know, teeth coming in, I think the body biologically is ready for that next step in food and nutrient dense foods. So, but at the same time, if you are able to breastfeed, I would suggest breastfeeding until you can't breastfeed anymore.
Oh, definitely.
You know, because there is just nothing as nutritionally dense as a mom who eats well as her breast milk. And the cool part with breast milk is that it actually changes to your baby's needs, your child's needs. So if they're sick, the breast milk actually will look different because the immunoglobulins will change. It's such a fascinating, I was just talking to Andrea, my wife, about this. It's so fascinating. And the human
changes
body
as
is
they get older. As they get older, the nutrients of it changes. It is so insanely cool.
Yeah, it is really, really cool. And we are designed so smartly that it's just like, it always blows my mind. And the body never ceases to amaze me. And breast milk is the perfect example of the beauty of us. So,
I think starting with food that's easy to digest, whole food that you have to chew, and then continuing to breastfeed, that your breast milk is the priority nutrient until baby is one. After that, I do think, you know, increasing meals, but still nursing as much as the baby wants. Nursing is the ultimate palate expander. Yeah. So we talked about palate expansion last week, guys. Like, this is the way to prevent these issues, is eating whole, is eating foods that they have to chew, that baby has to chew, and then also nursing as long as possible. And I know that's a sensitive subject and I get it, but if you are able to, please continue, because it's so good for your baby.
Yeah, absolutely. It is second to none, as they say. All right, next question. This one's interesting, and we're going to kind of break it down. Hyperpigmentation of the pelvic floor. So let's kind of break that down, because I don't really understand, you know, pelvic floor hyperpigmentation, like the actual question. I understand hyperpigmentation, I understand what the pelvic floor is, but hyperpigmentation of the pelvic floor, I'm not sure if this person meant what they tried to mean, if that makes sense.
I mean, if they were meant from like somebody like an OBGYN or midwife looking internally and that being hyperpigmented, I would just, I don't
know, because that's all mucous membrane. So it's like.
But if they meant the skin.
Yeah, that's what we're thinking.
We're thinking that, and we're thinking then we would say blood sugar. Yes. That is 100% a factor and you see that in blood sugar dysregulation, insulin resistance. And that's where I would go with there.
Yeah. And you get it a lot of times, the most common is like on the wrinkles of your mm-hmm. neck. And so insulin resistance and liver support, right? We love golden thread, Regenerazyme heart, black cumin oil, Japanese knotweed.
Yeah.
Also love, Shisandra, just for overall liver support. It's the one herb that works on most, I believe it's every single actually pathway of your liver. And that's why a lot of times you'll see me say on Instagram, what's your number one supplement? And I say for females, it's Shisandra. But for everybody, it's black cumin oil. And I just mentioned both of those here.
Yep. Yep.
What about red infrared light? What do you think about that for hyperpigmentation?
I think that would be something I would do. Yeah. I mean, because it stimulates the mitochondria. And so I think that is definitely something I would do. But I mean, I think ultimately you're going to have to heal internally.
Yeah, absolutely.
But especially if it's like up here too, like, I mean, I would definitely do that.
What about if it's in the pelvic floor? What would you do?
I think it just depends on what they mean by that. Like, is there a red light that go? I think there is a red light that goes in saw internal.
I could imagine it's out there.
It's out there. But like, as far as like whether I would buy one for that, no. I would probably say go internal first and use a red light device on the external area if you have it. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Next one. We got two more. Preeclampsia.
Yeah.
Preeclampsia. Let's talk about it. Go ahead, lead us off, and I'll give my two cents.
My thoughts are increasing antioxidants. I wonder if, like, and then in liver, I feel like liver is a big issue with preeclampsia. I would focus on increasing antioxidants and liver support.
I'm with you on that. I would say liver is by far the biggest thing that I have found in patients. I've actually can't remember the last time I had a pregnant patient have preeclampsia that I was working on them.
Probably because they were under your care.
Well, but I have had people who had had it in the past, and what patterns I have found on them were always liver, always. Yeah. And so one of my favorite ones, especially, you know, for pregnancy, for liver, is Vervita Circutonic. And the two nutrients that I really like in there is selenium and molybdenum, because those also work on the methylation pathways of the angiotensin system, which is actually what regulates blood sugar. Mm-hmm. So Vervita Circutonic is a great one. Reishi Supreme is another really good one for liver support and can kind of help that. You know, the biggest thing though, folks, is to regulate your toxicity, which Lauren just mentioned with antioxidants, and to also balance your blood sugar. We keep going back to blood sugar. The liver is severely related to blood sugar. You know, the first time I ever took frequency medicine seminar in 2013, one of the first things you do, literally the first thing you do, is you do balancing blood sugar. Mm-hmm. And they came in the room, they said, there are going to be two things that your patient is going to walk in with, and you can take this to the bank that is going to be the majority. Number one is a blood sugar dysregulation issue. And number two is dehydration. And 11 years later, I can say that that was pretty spot on. And what they will say also is that most people look at your pancreas for blood sugar regulation, but that 98% of your blood sugar regulation is actually due to your liver. 2% is pancreas and adrenals. So then you got to look at what affects liver. You know, viruses affect liver. I do have found in the people that have preeclampsia, mold affecting the liver, mold and fungus to be a big issue. And then that goes back to, this is kind of how my mind works, is, you know, what is one of the things you always hear me say is fungal infections are very common with estrogen dominance and estrogen issues. And so now you have another burden on the liver with estrogen because it has to detoxify the estrogen into the gallbladder, into the gut, you excrete it. And so if the liver is not working properly, now you're going to get fungal, estrogen, mold, you're going to get all that stuff built up, and then add pregnancy on top of it. And now you have a shift in hormone picture that can also stress the body if it can't adapt to the situation. I may have just confused people with that, but I think I'm talking out loud how my mind is working. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'll say about preeclampsia is liver, love Circutonic. You know, there's not so much you can do during pregnancy. And so I like to keep it simple and try to prevent it from ever happening in the first place.
Yeah, I would say prevention is the biggest thing. I will say there is a study that has shown that CoQ10 supplementation during pregnancy can be helpful for decreasing preeclampsia risk. You would want to talk to your doctor about that or your midwife about that just to make sure they're okay with it. But that is something that I would say, and increasing antioxidants again, milk thistle, you know, that's a good liver support. Would GlyphoX be a good one to add on because it's pregnancy safe?
I would say I would be okay with it because GlyphoX is actually, we were just talking about blood sugar. And so we talked about berberine, which is golden thread. We talked about Japanese knotweed, which is resveratrol, which actually resveratrol and turmeric, I'm totally fine with in pregnancy. But the third one after that is actually burdock, and burdock is in GlyphoX with the dandelion and the basil. So I think that, Circutonic along with GlyphoX is one of the things that you'll hear me talk about with blood pressure in general, because of what we just talked about, molybdenum, selenium, and there's CoQ10 in there, but also GlyphoX has, burdock, which balances blood sugar, which then, what happens is insulin from blood sugar dysregulation makes the kidneys retain more salt and increase your blood pressure. So that's an absolutely a great suggestion with the GlyphoX.
I love that you made that connection though for people with blood sugar and blood pressure, and people don't automatically think that that's connected. And so I think that that's an important connection that they're all related. Again, I would just go with increasing antioxidants and do what you can. Make sure you're eating well. I mean, those toxins in the food, don't scare about food, but like eat whole foods, eat meat, eat things that your body knows how to process. If we're eating a bunch of processed foods with high fructose corn syrup and who knows what else on top of it, your body has to process it. Your liver has to process it. And so I would definitely think about, you know, a whole food, animal-based type of diet.
Totally. And one last thing before we move on to our last question of the day is the connection I just made with insulin reacting with kidney receptors that retains your sodium. We also live in a population that's very magnesium and potassium deficient. Mm-hmm. So I think that's also a really big one too.
Yeah, that's huge. Potassium and magnesium. That's one thing, especially potassium with regulating heart rate. Magnesium is something that I think most people are aware of now. I do think it's becoming more like the awareness around magnesium deficiency is there. They just still don't know which one to take. And so I would say I like combination ones. I like glycinate for anxiety. Citrate is good if you have constipation. Yeah. So there are different ones. I've been taking the Taylor Duke's Wellness magnesium complex, and that's been great. Do you have one that you like?
So I'm starting, you know, just like you said, there's sometimes where it's like you have constipation, citrate, you have sleep issues and anxiety, glycinate, you have energy issues, malate. You have heart issues, orotate, you know, taurate if you have gallbladder issues. Yes. But I find that magnesium is very much like CBD, where you sometimes you're not getting muscle tested. You just got to kind of experiment with which one feels the best to you.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say. I'd also say that for potassium, you know, there's a potassium bicarbonate, there's potassium gluconate. I find the same thing. You know, there's just everyone's body is a little different. You'll do better with some and worse with others. And if you aren't using frequency medicine, which is, you know, kind of what Lauren and I preach to do, then you just have to experiment with some and just see how you feel on it. Listen to your body. Your body is trying to tell you something.
Yeah. I do a lot of aloe vera juice, which is low sugar.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Cream of tartar, making your own adrenal cocktail is, you know, doing a little salt. It's like a 1/4 teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of cream of tartar. And I don't add in orange juice because of blood sugar. I would do something like a vitamin C powder with that. And then you have like your own homemade cream, adrenal cocktail with potassium in it. But I also like pickleball that has a high amount of potassium in it.
And what's that? Bicarbonate, right?
I don't know.
I think it's bicarbonate.
Yeah. I think that you can do it that way and then add in, there's definitely ways to add in other potassium as well. Most women, I feel like, are potassium deficient. If you have like twitching of the eyes, heart rate
issues,
I
think that the number is, we're supposed to have 4 grams, so 4,000 milligrams of potassium a day.
Mm-hmm.
And like, think about how much that is compared to what we consume.
I mean, and most people, like, honestly, they just eat so much like dead food, like where it's like processed. Like, think about there are foods that have a lot of potassium, like bananas do, but potatoes do too. There are, I don't know what other foods have high potassium. Is it spinach?
No.
I don't know.
Red meat.
What'd you say?
Red meat.
Red meat has, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
I would say that's something I would be focusing on preconception, during pregnancy, and after. A lot of animal meat. Like it is just, and then, you know, cooked veggies, some fruits. Okay. But you got to watch your blood sugar depending on where you're at, and in season foods, if you typically would have that in season, then your body will probably know what to do with it better. And so that's something to consider as well.
Totally. All right. Last question. 2.5-year-old has really bad reflux to the point where vomits after many meals and says it feels spicy, was very colicky since birth, and also has a ton of constipation. Now, I think all of these are related. Mm-hmm. You know, the saying is, and I'm actually right now in the middle of making my childhood learning disability video in the membership. And one of the biggest things that I say in it, or will say in it when I film it, is that we don't grow out of things. We just grow into new diagnoses from the same root cause. And so this is a perfect thing of a child who was colic at birth. And then by 2.5, they had reflux and constipation. Something was not dealt with. Our pediatricians have no idea what they're talking about. And let's talk about it. So right away, let's start at birth. Colic. What do you think about colic, Lauren?
I think of a baby that needs some body work.
Yes.
And a food sensitivity is probably pairing with that. And my first thing would be body work. I think that there's just a lot there. There's a cell salt I'll link in the show notes that you can use for colic for babies. But I would highly recommend CFT, chiropractor, body work.
Yeah. But my pediatrician told me that chiropractors are quacks. What do I say to them?
Because my dad had a doctor tell him that this year. And I'm like,
oh yeah,
we are in year 2024 and that is still an issue. Like, I don't understand that. There are some old school chiropractors that probably, you know, maybe the way they practiced it was different, but find one who works with infants, with children, with that is comfortable with these things. You're going to find them in your area. There are so many.
Yeah, there's a ton.
And if you can find one that does frequency medicine or is trained by Dr. Noah and Dr. Michael Leibowitz, then you're definitely going to have some good success there. Or CRA, that would be an even, you know, even better.
Yeah.
Like if you have that type of combination, it's amazing. But I would say that you will be able to find one that works with infants and children.
Yeah. And old school chiropractors, for people that are just new to this or haven't been to a chiro, the thing that I love about old school chiropractors is they are so what we call principled. They know that the power that made the body heals the body, and that when you adjust somebody, you are affecting that person's neurology to the deepest depths. I think there is massive benefit in that. But as time has gone on and our environment has changed, those chiropractors have not. That's where I think the biggest downfall is. And so now you have functional medicine. Well, functional medicine asks a great question, but frequency medicine tells you when to do what. And so when you combine them, that's where you get these new age chiropractors that, you know, people on Instagram and social media will say they're quacks whenever they mention anything that is internal medicine related. Well, folks, we've had to do that because Western medicine has failed you.
Yeah.
We have had to pick up the slack because we're not getting any healthier.
And the chiropractors see it. They see these patients going to all these doctors.
For sure.
Not getting any answers. And they actually care and want to find the answers. And that's where these other modalities have come into play and yep. have really found success. And I mean, I just can't tell you how many people, like, just how many doctors are just so, they just do, they have no idea about yep. how to actually care for the human body. They do know how to save a life, and they do know how to do surgery when needed. And sure, I am so thankful for that. But my goodness, they don't know how to care for the body and care for it well and give it what it needs.
100%. Yeah. And so, as Lauren was saying, you know, try to find someone, you know, word of mouth is always the best. If you know someone who had a firsthand encounter with a doctor you can go see, I think that's better than any referral you're going to get.
Yes.
We mentioned the Leibowitz protocol. That's great. That's also just chemical. There's no emotional work in that. There is no structural. So, you know, it's amazing for chemical infections and inflammation, but we also, something like CRA that deals with structural, chemical, and emotional, or, you know, you throw an NET in quantum neurology. It's just finding someone who can do structural, chemical, and emotional is what you're really, really looking for.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that to put anything down. I'm just saying that in this day and age, chemistry is a big deal, but we also need to realize that structural health still matters, and that emotional health is probably the biggest thing that we can do for each person.
I echo that one. I just had, you know, I went through a miscarriage earlier this year, and I have started NET pretty much the same. It was the same month. It was just by God's grace that I had that starting the same month. And I, walking through that and pulling up some deep stuff this last 5 months, I have grown so much as a person and been able to heal so much more and be able to, like, it has been such a good thing for my marriage, for my family, for my health. And I can't tell you, there are some roots to things that you all don't even realize. Like, the things that I came up for me, I was shocked by. And I just feel like if you can find the right person to guide you through that and release it out of your physiology, that starts healing. Like, not just with supplements. It's also releasing some of the stuff that we have been through out of our body.
Yep. And you hear us talking about supplements a lot because that's the easiest action step for us to tell you. Releasing emotions is not the easiest action step. You know, it's often needed to go see somebody to do that. Yes, we talk about tapping. We talk about the FAST technique with pulse points. All that stuff is phenomenal. But also, a lot of people don't want to dig out their issues. You know, and it's a lot easier just to take a supplement. So you hear us talking about it all the time, but don't take that as we're not giving emphasis on emotions, because they're extremely important. Okay, so colic as a kid, I like how you said food sensitivities, body work for sure. I would check in on a sliding hiatal hernia, which is not one that needs surgery. It is someone who does things like body work, applied kinesiology, all of that, who are in CRA, who are able to work from that diaphragm and get that stomach moving properly on the other side of the diaphragm. That is very common in food sensitivities that will cause that. And then, so as the baby ages, now you get reflux. And so I am going to bet that this child probably has some type of hiatal hernia with eating food sensitivities, and there is some infection, probably bacterial, which then here's how smart the body is. If there is bacteria, say like H. pylori, which is the most common infection in the world, because it's part of our natural flora, and then when it becomes a monster, it becomes a monster. That stops your stomach from producing acid, right? Because it wants to survive. Our stomach acid is our first natural defense against microbes in the digestive tract. So what do these microbes do? They shut down our defense system. So there goes our stomach acid. Well, one of the biggest causes of constipation is actually stomach and gallbladder function, not so much colon function. And so as the stomach shuts down, gets the stomach acid shut down or lessened, now the gallbladder, which releases bile into the small intestine, one of the main functions of bile is to actually buffer the stomach acid, because the small intestine where they meet is very alkaline and the stomach is very acidic. And so imagine this. If you're not producing stomach acid properly, the gallbladder is not going to release bile, and now you're going to be constipated. So all of this stuff comes full circle. I think back to what Lauren was saying, though, body work to make sure that the hiatal hernia is clear. The food sensitivities is huge, because if you're eating food sensitivities, what does that deplete? A bunch of your vitamins and minerals that also help you produce stomach acid. So now you're turning down your stomach acid. And then because you're turning down your stomach acid, your gallbladder is like, well, I don't have to release bile now. And now there's no bile being released. And now bile is a natural laxative. So there goes your constipation. And then when you don't have bowel movements, now you can't get all this bad bacteria out of you. So then it's just sitting there and it's creating the same vicious circle over and over. And the reflux, I know I'm going on a tangent right now. I can feel myself doing it. The reflux, the reflux that you're experiencing is not too much stomach acid. It's actually too little stomach acid, because when the food sits there, it ferments, it putrefies depending on what you're eating, and what's produced, lactic acid. And so that's what you're feeling in the esophagus, and that spicy feeling, not so much too much stomach acid. It's actually too little stomach acid.
Mm. Yeah. Yep.
And so that's what I think's happening, or I could be completely wrong.
No, you're not. That's exactly it. Cause it's all connected. And the same thing goes for an adult who has reflux and constipation. It's all connected. And so, solutions would be like get tested, or if you don't have someone locally, I would at least do like gluten and dairy.
Yeah.
Eat meat, vegetables, cooked vegetables if you can, because it's easier for your body to digest cooked versus raw.
Yep.
And then I would start on either digestive bitters and or digestive enzymes for kids. And that will be extremely helpful, especially for constipation.
And I would say, like, if someone's like, okay, so then what if there's bacteria? What do I do, like H. pylori? I would probably do black cumin oil and something gentle like Mirinda Supreme.
Oh, yeah.
Those are probably the two that I would start with without muscle testing someone. I also like olive leaf. I think olive leaf's a great one. Those are probably my top three for that without testing.
Yeah. Mirinda's great. It's super gentle too. And it doesn't taste bad.
Used to come in powder, and they just start selling it in capsules, but it used to come in powder because it actually is very mild tasting.
Yeah. It doesn't taste bad. Mixing with applesauce or something like that. You know, I think that I really love kids' castor oil packs. I know I talk about them with adults, but I do love them with kids. They're very calming too. I would start very slow, but they do help with bowel movements a lot. And so that can be another thing, or even just doing some castor oil belly massage. That's just really calming. Just a drop of castor oil and just do it on the belly clockwise and just maybe play some soft, soothing music. Some of that constipation can be emotions. Think of constipation as you're bound up. And with adults, especially, constipation is definitely there's an emotional component, but with kids too, and they just think about them holding their little bodies together. They're holding everything together, and they just have a hard time releasing it if they've had a hard day and calming down to actually have a bowel movement. And so, that can be a really good thing to help calm, maybe have some oils going. Oh, I do love, from Young Living, the Kid Sense tummy guys. I do love that stuff. Like, it's diluted for kids. I think Purely Parsons has a tummy oil that's diluted too. That would be great. Tummy Tamer, I think. whatever oils that can help. That's more of an as needed thing. That's not going to be something that's going to help root cause.
I agree.
So I think that you can fix this, but I think it's going to take some body work. I think it's going to take finding a team around you. I think it's going to take some food sensitivity and looking at taking away some foods that might be not helping the situation.
Yep. And the last thing I will echo on that is, as we were talking about that, you know, adults can have this too, and have a hernia is really common, but in adults, one of the most common causes is actually a broken heart. Mm-hmm. So emotions and the stomach, literally you're in the frequency of your organs trying to support one another, and your stomach will slip above the diaphragm to hold up a broken heart. That is a Versendahl clinical pearl, the man who created CRA and changed my life forever. So, all right, I think that is it. You want to read your favorite last sentence of the show?
This is not medical advice. This is meant to be educational. Please speak with your healthcare provider. I will add one thing. If you want us to answer your question, please go fill out the question on the spreadsheet that's linked on our Instagram page, Red Pill Your Healthcast. And that way you can get your question answered. Please yes. leave us a rating and review if you like this. We enjoy doing this because we can actually talk in long form about these things, because it's so hard to answer these questions on Instagram just in like a quick story. And so we appreciate your all support.
Yeah. And spread the Instagram page. Start sharing it so we can grow and yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, folks. See y'all on the next one.